From Spark and Anvil and DepthQuest, this is Trench in Chapter 1 of the DepthQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
7 miles beneath the last trace of light, where the water pressed in with the weight of a mountain, and the dark was so complete it seemed to have a texture, Trench hung motionless above the trench floor and let the whole ocean rest on her. She was a snailfish tween, small, pale, and nearly transparent, the faint pink of her body glowing like a candle behind wet paper. Around her, the seafloor stretched flat and patient. Nothing here moved fast. A single amphipod, no larger than a rice grain, picked its slow way across the silt, and far overhead, a flake of marine snow drifted down through the black, like a star falling in extreme slow motion. A young fish had trailed her the whole descent, and now hovered close, shivering. "How are you not being crushed?" he managed. "It hurts. My whole body feels like it's being folded shut." "You're bracing," Trench said, without opening her eyes fully. "You're treating the pressure like an enemy that's coming for you. Watch what I do instead." She did not tense. She did not push. She let her soft, boneless body settle into the crushing weight, the way you settle into a hug that starts out too tight, and slowly, once you stop resisting it, becomes simply held. "My body was built for exactly this much sea," she said. "Soft where a bone would shatter, slack where a lung would burst. The pressure isn't attacking me. It's just the shape of where I live." She drifted an inch sideways, effortless. The trick was never being tough. The trick is being made for the depth. And that took a length of time your imagination can't quite hold.
Trench had not always been at peace with the dark. When she was newly hatched, barely a smudge of pale in the black, she had turned her small face upward, toward the rumor of a surface she had only heard about, and felt something cold crack open in her chest. Everyone in the stories lived up there, in warm, bright water, in reefs the color of sunrise, in fast, dazzling schools that turned all at once like a single silver animal. And she was stuck down here at the bottom of everything, in the cold and the crushing quiet, alone. "I was born into the worst place there is," she decided. "The deepest, emptiest, most forgotten nowhere in the whole sea." Her grandmother came drifting up beside her, an old snailfish, pale and unhurried, older than Trench had words for. She did not tell Trench the deep was wonderful. She only asked, softly, "Does it feel like the world forgot this part? Like the light got shared out everywhere but here?" Trench had nodded, her throat too tight to speak. "Then feel how still it is," her grandmother said. "Up in the bright water, everything is always changing. Storms tear the surface, seasons turn it over. Whole kinds of creatures rise up and vanish in what the sea would call a single afternoon." Her slow gaze traveled the dark around them. "But down here, it barely changes at all. The same cold, the same quiet, for 1,000 years, for 10,000, longer than you could line up in your head end to end. Our family has worn nearly this exact shape for so long that the shallow world has been born and swept clean and born again 100 times over, while we simply stayed." She nudged Trench, warm as a coal. "You weren't born into the forgotten place, little one. You were born into the oldest place, the one that keeps things safe precisely because it refuses to hurry them." Trench did not feel brave that day, but the cold thing behind her ribs unclenched, just slightly. The deep wasn't empty. It was ancient. And somehow, being ancient made it a place she could belong to, instead of a place she was trapped in.
She traveled to Depth Quest at 13. Traveled up, though up here still meant miles below the reach of the sun. Because a school that claimed to study the whole ocean ought to have a voice for its deepest and least visited floor. Marlin, the old mentor who ran the place, met her at the gate. He did not ask whether she was strong. He did not ask her to withstand anything. He asked her a single quiet question. Tell me, what is it truly like, down where you come from? Trench did not recite a list of facts. She simply settled right there in the gateway into the same unbraced calm she had shown the shivering young fish. Soft, at ease, holding steady in a weight that would have folded any creature of the bright water flat. It's the deepest, heaviest, oldest part of the sea, she said. No light has ever touched it. And still, there is life there. Small, patient life that has looked exactly like this for longer than anyone can properly count. Where I come from, the world doesn't rush. It just keeps. Marlin watched her hold that stillness, not straining against it, simply inhabiting it. You belong here, he said.
Trench's workshop became the quietest room in all of Depth Quest, and the creatures who found their way to it were the ones for whom everything else had begun to feel too fast. A young fish arrived one afternoon, wound tight as a spring.
Everyone else is already good at things, she burst out. I've been practicing forever, and I've barely changed at all. It's like I'm stuck down at the bottom while the whole world races ahead up in the light.
Trench recognized that feeling from the inside. She had carried it once, cold and certain, when she was small. Come and look at this with me, she said, and unrolled a long chart. Down one edge ran depth, from the sunlit surface to the crushing floor. Down the other ran time, reaching back further than the young fish could picture. Up near the top, everything changes quickly, storm to storm, season to season. A little deeper, it slows. Deeper still, slower again. Her fin traced all the way to the bottom of the diagram. And down at the very deepest, it barely changes across a whole life. Not yours, not your grandmother's, not 100 grandmothers set end to end. That sounds lonely, the young fish said. It sounds like patience, Trench answered. She pulled up a grainy scrap of footage, pale little fish exactly at herself, filmed by explorers who had lowered a camera farther than anyone had ever dared to look before. These are my neighbors. They look ancient because they truly are. Their whole shape has held nearly steady across more time than the shallow sea could dream of. They didn't fall behind by staying constant. She looked at the young fish, warm and level. The deepest places are also the oldest, and the oldest things in the ocean were never made in a hurry. They were made by not rushing. One slow, safe stretch of time laid gently on the last. The young fish went very quiet, turning that over and over in the dark.
Later, when the workshop had emptied and the outer water had gone from black to a deeper black, the young fish drifted back with one final question. She was calmer now, the spring in her uncoiled. When you're just holding still down there, she said, and nothing's happening and it's dark and everything is so slow, how do you not feel like you're getting nowhere at all?
Trench thought about the trench four, about the too tight hug of the water that turned, if you let it, into simply being held, about her grandmother's slow and unhurried voice threading through the cold. You feel it in your body before you can explain it, she said. There's this heavy, settled, deeply steady feeling, like the whole weight of the world has come to rest on you, and somewhere along the way, you stopped being afraid of it. That isn't nothing. That isn't being stuck. That's you being exactly enough for where you are, quietly keeping. She turned toward the deep beyond the window. The heaviest, most patient part of the ocean is the part that has held on the longest. And down here, nobody is racing anybody. The young fish nodded slowly, and Trench watched the wound-up tightness ease out of her, the way, long ago, the cold thing had finally loosened in her own small chest. Not all at once, but the way pressure stops hurting once you quit fighting it. Something behind the young fish's ribs went soft and unafraid, and she breathed out long and slow into the dark. And for the first time all day, she felt the good kind of heavy. Not the heaviness of falling behind, but the settled, held, ancient calm of a creature made for exactly the depth it was in. Trench didn't say the rest aloud, but she felt it, steady and certain and warm all through her. The deepest, slowest, most left-behind feeling places are so often just the ones that are quietly keeping something precious safe. You aren't stuck. You're being held, in the dark, taking the time it takes.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Trench. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.